Thanks, Jill. Fusion, so good to be with you guys tonight. Before I get going, I just want to tell you something. This week, I had a dream like 4 or 5 nights ago that I was preaching. I was working on my sermon. I've been working on this for the last several weeks. And so I had a dream that I was here preaching at Fusion. But while I was preaching, you all began to talk and have conversations with each other. And you all stopped listening to me up here while I was preaching. And like, I couldn't get your attention back. I've been a junior high youth pastor for 5 years, and I couldn't get your attention back. You were all just talking to each other. And I woke up so stressed and so anxious about that, thinking, oh, I'm not going to be able to hold Fusion's attention. I went to great lengths this week to make sure that you guys are going to listen. I brought my grandma with me tonight, who I told her about my dream. She promised if you guys don't listen, she's going to stand up and point you guys out. So, grandma. So glad to have my grandma here. If you guys have heard anything about my story, you know there's a very important part of my story where Jesus-worshiping grandparents, my grandma and grandpa, took me in at a very vital time and helped me find my way back to Jesus, leading me here, and that's my grandma. So glad to have you here tonight with us, Grandma. Also, just very quickly wanted to mention, starting next week, we're beginning a new series here at Fusion called Shine, Living Out God's Goodness in Everyday Ways. And this is going to be a 7-week series through the book of James. And what I'm so excited about for this series, it's going to give us wisdom on how to handle life's trials that it's going to bring to us. Anybody have any trials happening in your life right now? Literally just me. Okay, I see you guys. Thank you. Yeah. I could use some wisdom for some trials in my life. And so we're excited about this series. Also, just wanted to bring back up something that Jill referenced. Next week, we're going to be shortening our time in this room to 60 minutes to allow all of us time to head to the church park for the church for the life group fair that's going to be taking place. Very excited about that. My encouragement to you, Fusion, is to hear me on this. Service is only 60 minutes. If you show up at 6:30, you're going to miss half of the service. You're going to be strolling in during Tom's sermon. So please try to be here on time next week and then make your way to the Life Group Fair. If you guys would grab your bulletin that hopefully you got on your way in, we're going to begin now our final week together in our series, How to Be Brave. And as we begin this series, I wanted to give you all a chance to know something about me and get to know me a little bit better. I just recently stepped into my role as Generations Pastor here at Christian Assembly, which means I'm now helping to lead and shape both Fusion and our student ministries here. And some of you in this room, you know me pretty well, but others in this room, you don't really know much about me except things that I've shared from the stage here at Fusion, things like how I'm not very good at skydiving and things of that nature. But one thing that I want to make you guys aware of that you should just know about me as one of the pastors here, I am a huge sports fan. Huge sports fan. When I was younger, I was an athlete. I loved to play sports. Now that I'm a little older, I love to watch sports. Watching millionaires who are younger than I am run around for 3 hours feels like a workout to me. So I love to watch sports. I also am passionately loyal to my teams. I do not believe in jumping from team to team as a fan. That being said, I need to take this chance to be brave and to tell you something, Fusion. I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a Cowboys fan, and just owning that requires bravery on my part. You see, being a Cowboys fan, I'm getting heckled on stage at church right now. Being a Cowboys fan isn't the easiest thing in the world. I'm so glad you're heckling me, as in my notes it says, being a Cowboys fan isn't the easiest thing in the world. I see you over there. Haters. It's not the easiest thing in the world. I've had lots of people in my life over the last several years tell me, Bo, just give up. Just pick a new team. But here's what you got to understand about the Dallas Cowboys for me. Being a Cowboys fan is my birthright. Literally. The day that I was born, my father held his son for the very first time, and the first words he said to me were, you and I are going to watch the Cowboys together. It's been handed to me. On top of that, here's what you got to understand. I'm 32 years old, so you got to think about this. When I was 8 years old, the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. When I was 9 years old, the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. When I was 11 years old, the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl over Tom Hughes' precious Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way. Is he here? He's not here. Is this being recorded? I don't know. I grew up thinking my team always wins the Super Bowl. 21 years later, I'm beginning to wonder if that's not true. My love for the Cowboys, it doesn't make much sense to most people. In fact, it probably makes no sense to anybody in this room right now. And how do I know that? Because if you were really a Cowboys fan, you'd probably be watching the Dallas Cowboys play the Bears right now, which they are. And by the way, I'm recording it, so don't tell me the score. Are they winning? Don't tell me. Anybody know? Are they winning? Don't tell me. Are they winning? Okay. Acts of bravery in our lives, they don't always make sense to everyone else. But that shouldn't be the determining factor on whether or not we act bravely in life. See, the question is not, does everybody else like this action? The question is also not, is anyone else doing this brave thing? The question that we have to ask ourselves, rather, is God leading me into this brave thing? Too often, Fusion, there are countless onlookers who either see an issue and they refuse to do something about it, or there are those who are so caught up with themselves and with their own lives, they don't even have eyes to see the opportunity for bravery. The question tonight that we're going to ask ourselves, and really, if you've been with us for any of the weeks of this series, you know, this is really the question that's guided our whole time through this series, how to be brave. The question is this: when your God-led moment of bravery presents itself, will you be ready? Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord Jesus, once again, we ask that you would make us a brave people. Lord, we recognize that for every single person sitting in this room, you have moments of bravery in store for us. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to be a people who are ready to respond, who are ready to act bravely in everything that you have for us, Lord, especially in those times when it doesn't make sense to other people, but we know you are leading us into it. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room. Speak tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look tonight for just a few minutes together at one of my all-time favorite stories of bravery from the Bible. Our story, it comes from 1 Samuel chapter 14. And in this story, you just got to know a little bit of context. This is just shortly before David will go and fight Goliath. That hasn't happened quite yet. We're pre that event. And in this story, the armies of Israel, who are being led by King Saul, they are camped across from their great enemy, the Philistines. Now, you have to know, the Israelites and the Philistines, they hated each other. They couldn't stand each other, all right? We're talking, I mean, the greatest rivalry you've ever seen. I mean, this is, they hated each other so much. This is Red Sox and Yankees hatred at each other. This is Bruins and Trojans rivalry against each other. This is Lakers fans and everyone else who isn't a Lakers fan. In our story, the Israelites, you got to know, they're not in a great position here. Chapter 13 tells us that the army had no weapons. They had no swords. The entire army had to take farming tools and fashion them and shape them into makeshift weapons. It tells us that there are two swords in the entire army. One's held by King Saul, and one is held by his son, a guy named Jonathan, who's the main character of our story tonight. Let's begin in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 1. It'll be in your bulletin. It's also on the screen. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." but he did not tell his father. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez, and the other Sinna. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, and the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over there to that outpost of those uncircumcised men." I want to make a quick note. This is not just a comment on the anatomy of their enemies. This is a reference to the fact that these people were not in covenant with their God. They were not a part of the same thing. These were enemies of not only the Israelites, but enemies of their God as well. Jonathan says, "Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving." If you're a note taker, would you underline or circle that phrase? Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now, the odds facing Jonathan in this situation, they were not good. Jonathan is literally holding one of the two swords in the entire army. Not only that, but he doesn't even bother to let anybody else know his plan. The only person that he brings in the loop on this thing is his young armor bearer. This kid is a teenager at best. We're talking 13, 14 years old. So Jonathan, looking across at this Philistine army, says to his unarmed young teenage armor bearer, whose job it was to carry his armor, he says, "Let's head over there and let's see what those guys are up to." Now, I'm no military strategist, okay? But this doesn't seem like a great plan to me. There are several reasons this plan doesn't feel good. One is the overwhelming lack of weapons and men. Now, I love some history. I like military history especially. I feel like history would show us that the side that has weapons and people to use those weapons win fights, right? Jonathan has neither of those things. Not only that, but the cliffs that Jonathan and his armor bearer were going to have to negotiate their way through, they are not simple hills. One of them was named Bozez, and it meant either shining, as in it's in the full glaring heat of the sun, or it might have meant slippery, a cliff that's either in the sun or it's slippery to climb. Sinna, the other cliff, meant thorny or blackberry covered. Have you ever messed with blackberry bushes before? Do you have any desire to rock climb up a cliff face covered in blackberry bushes? No. So they have no weapons, they have no men. The route to get there is not an easy one. And finally, there's that one little fact of the entire Philistine army waiting for them at the top of this. Yet Jonathan doesn't just see the problem or the problems. He sees the God-given opportunity to be brave. Jonathan recognizes something important that we must also recognize, Fusion, if we are going to live lives of bravery. And it's your first point on in your bulletin. God is not intimidated by the problem. God is not intimidated by the problem. Now, if you've been with us for any of this series, that point may sound familiar. And if so, let me just say, good. If there is anything that I want you to take out of this series, How to Be Brave, it is this point right here that we must always remember: God is not intimidated by the problem. Jonathan knows that an army of Philistines is nothing compared to God's power. Remember what he said: "Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." See, Jonathan, he knows that the biggest problems that we face cannot stop our God from doing the things that he has planned to do. Fusion, God's plans for this city cannot be stopped. God's plans for your workplace cannot be stopped. God's plans for your college campus, it cannot be stopped if we will trust him and if we will step out bravely. God's plans for you are not intimidated by the problems that you face. I don't know about you, but there are some problems in my life. There are some difficulties in my life. There are some situations that I look at and I think there's no way God can be at work here because look at all of these circumstances. Yet I am reminded tonight, Fusion, that it doesn't matter how many weapons you possess. It doesn't matter what the cliffs look like. It doesn't matter what the army is waiting for you on the other side. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving. When God is at work, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving. When things look bad, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving. When you are afraid, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving. God doesn't just suddenly recognize and see your situation from heaven and say to himself, oh my me, what am I going to do about this? I had no idea. He's not intimidated by the problem. Fusion. We get to be brave because our God is not scared. Hear that tonight. Let's read on in our story. Jonathan lays out his plan to his young armor bearer. In verse 7 it says, "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul." So Jonathan said, "Come on then. We'll cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay there and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up because that will be the sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we will teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Now, one of the things that I love so much about this story is that it isn't just about Jonathan acting bravely. It's also about a young man who supported a brave plan. See, Jonathan's armor bearer, he added to his bravery. Jonathan, he lays out a plan that to most would be pretty ridiculous, I feel like. Most people, myself included, in this situation, upon hearing Jonathan's plan, I would be like, "You want to do what? That's great. Best of luck. I'm going to stay here alive. You go over there and get dead. And when you do, don't worry. I'll tell everybody how awesome you were. Legends never die, dude." Like, but not the armor bearer. Jonathan's armor bearer trusts in God. And he trusts in Jonathan. This plan, it likely didn't make a lot of sense to him, but it didn't need to. See, whether he knew it from before or whether he learned it from Jonathan, the armor bearer remembered that nothing can hinder God from saving. So he responds to Jonathan's plan with the most encouraging and life-bringing statement that a person can possibly give somebody. "Do what's in your heart. I'm with you." See, this young man, he added to Jonathan's bravery. Which brings us to our second point of how to be brave. Surround yourself with people who make you brave. Surround yourself with people who make you brave. Who makes you brave? Who are the people in your life who trust God and who trust you? And when you feel God is leading you into a moment of bravery, they will say to you, "Do everything God is telling you to because I'm with you in this." I've been a youth pastor here at Christian Assembly for the last 5.5 years. And part of youth ministry is going on to junior high and high school campuses and trying to have a presence there. And, you know, I graduated high school a number of years ago. Don't worry about how many. It's none of your business. But I graduated high school a handful of years ago. And I look at my life now, and it's like I've got a job that I love. I've got the most beautiful wife in the world. I got a beautiful daughter. We got a baby on the way. I got nothing to prove to these kids. Yet there's something so amazing. And if you've graduated high school, maybe you've experienced this. You walk back onto a high school campus, and you instantly revert back to that scared freshman who thinks all your clothes are stupid and who can't remember where your locker is. And so I would walk onto these campuses and I would just feel so afraid. I would feel so insecure. I would be so intimidated that I actually stopped going to these campuses because I hated walking onto these campuses. Well, a couple of years ago, we hired Jake Walker, who maybe some of you know, to be a youth pastor here. And Jake and I decided that we were going to go do this ministry thing together on these high school and junior high campuses. So we started walking onto these campuses together. And, you know, I don't know if it's just who Jake is or because his hair is so great right now. But I call him Jake with the good hair because it's just on point. But walking onto a high school campus with somebody by your side who's like-minded, who's all about the same mission you are, all of a sudden I had a confidence on these campuses that I didn't have before. I found myself talking to kids when I would normally kind of be afraid and awkward and not want to talk to them. Simply having Jake there with me made me more brave in the things that God was calling me to do. So who makes you brave? Fusion, don't surround yourself with people who are going to steal your bravery. Find those people who will help you to be brave. Reading on in our story, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they're seen by the Philistines. The Philistines say, come on up here. And it says this in verse 13. Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, circle or underline that statement, if you will, using his hands and feet with the armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army. Those in the camp, in the field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Remember Jonathan saying, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving? A panic sent by God. Now, once they get to the Philistine army, this amazing thing happens. These guys, they just crush once they get there, right? They're just laying guys out left and right. But I want to note how they got there. It said Jonathan climbed up using his hands and his feet with his armor bearer right behind him. See, Jonathan didn't stroll up the hill. He didn't take the tram to the top. He didn't use the side stairs. He climbed using his hands and his feet. Jonathan's bravery, it required exhausting action. See, between those two very dangerous cliffs, Jonathan climbs. And it was no easy task. It was dangerous. And it was exhausting. It was not the easy thing to do. But here's what's important to remember, Fusion. The brave thing is rarely the easy thing. The brave thing is rarely the easy thing. See, sometimes the thing that God calls us to be brave in, it requires faithful, hard work. The brave thing is rarely the easy thing. If it was easy or if it was certain, it wouldn't require bravery at all. How often does God call us to be brave for something that's easy? Now, it's true that God cannot be hindered from what he's doing in this world and in our lives, but that doesn't mean those things are going to be easy. I mean, yeah, it's probably easy for him, but that doesn't mean that it's easy for us. But God doesn't call us to live easy lives. In Fusion, God doesn't call us to live safe lives. I find no verse in the Bible where Jesus says, don't worry, this whole thing is going to require very little of you. Rather, I find verses that say, pick up your cross daily and follow me. I find verses that say, he who loses his life for me is going to find his real life. I find verses that say, you can't follow me and cling to everything from your former life, so you're going to have to let go. But don't let the hard work required stop you, Fusion, from stepping into something brave that God is calling you to. It may mean that you got to climb using your hands and your feet sometimes. It may require sweat. It may require you waking up earlier than you want to. The brave thing is seldom the easy thing, but the brave thing is often the God thing. We jump ahead a little bit in our story. As Jonathan and his armor bearer get up to this Philistine outpost and start just rocking guys up there, the army of Israel, they hear this commotion that has started. And upon hearing what had happened, the entire army finally decides to respond. It says this in verse 20. Then Saul and all his men assembled and went to the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with swords. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines, these were traitors to the Philistine army and had gone up with them to their camp, they went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. And the Israelites who were hiding in the hill country, they heard that the Philistines were on the run, and they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven. You see, Jonathan's actions, they started a chain reaction of bravery. The Hebrews who had defected and joined the Philistines, they changed side and they rejoined their own people in the fight. Not only that, but the entire group of Israelites who had run, who were hiding in the caves, upon seeing the brave action by Jonathan and his armor bearer, they suddenly found their bravery and they came out to join the fight. Our final point tonight is this. Your bravery will inspire others to act bravely. Alex, if you'll join me up here. You see, brave actions, they have this tendency of creating chain reactions of more brave actions. Sometimes all that it takes is one person stepping out bravely to cause other people to decide that this is now my moment to be brave as well. Fusion, as we close tonight, I need to ask you something. Will you be brave tonight? And the way that bravery is going to look tonight is you deciding you're going to help us carry this ministry here forward. You see, our community here at Fusion, we have some big needs. And these are needs that only you can help us with. Because if you don't help with these needs, no one will help with these needs. You see, this ministry here, this group, this community called Fusion, it doesn't happen because a couple of pastors decide to do all of the work that it takes to make Fusion happen. Fusion happens because those of you who make up Fusion decide to make it happen. There are no secret army of volunteers who pull off everything that goes into this community. There are just those of us who have decided to lean in and to take ownership of this community. And tonight, as we close out our series on how to be brave, I'm going to ask you, Fusion, sitting in this room right now, to be brave tonight. I'm going to ask you to help pull the sled that is Fusion. I'm going to ask you tonight to decide to be brave and to commit to join one of our ministry teams that we have here. And it's not just because we need help with something. In fact, that's not our main motivation for this at all. Our main motivation for this opportunity for you to be brave is to give you the chance to step out bravely and to take ownership of this community. To hear God calling you into something that maybe you're afraid of. Maybe you're not sure how it's going to work. Maybe you're afraid of how hard the work is going to be. But you know God is calling you into it. I want to give you a chance, and we as your pastors want to give you a chance to step bravely into something new tonight. We identified a handful of areas where we could really use you to decide, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to help here in Fusion. In fact, we're going to put them up on the screen right here. Maybe. There we go. We have several needs, Fusion, where we need you to decide to lean in and be a part of it. Our cafe, we need people who will say, I'll serve at the cafe once a month. I'll help serve a meal in that space. so that others can interact with each other. We need people who will say, I don't know how to make all the coffee drinks, but I'll get trained on how to make coffee so that I can make drinks for people over at the cafe. So that while people are gathering and talking and hearing music and hanging out, they can have a space where they can grow towards their own commitment to Jesus because you decided you were going to be brave and you were going to serve. Our worship team and our tech, we need people to join this team. If you're a musician, if you can sing, we would love for you to join us. Alex does such a great job leading us every week, but we need people to make up these teams. We need tech-minded people who will say, I'll serve once a month. I'll help run ProPresenter. I'll help run the soundboard. I'll jump in and be brave. Fusion, our kids' church, desperately needs people to say, I'm going to join and be a part of it. Guys, it breaks my heart. There are weeks that we have our babies turned away from the nursery at kids' church because we don't have enough people in there to hold babies. And I get it. It's not convenient to work at kids' church at an evening service. I understand it. But I'm looking for people who will join me because I'm going to be in there. Look at people who be brave and say, once a month, I will go hold babies. I'll go hang out with those toddlers. There's going to be nights in this next year where I'm not going to be in this room because I'm going to be in there hanging out with the kids. Welcome and hospitality. If you were greeted on your way in, if you were handed a bulletin, that means somebody stepped up and acted bravely and said, I'll join the hospitality team. We need people to join hospitality and say, I'll hand out bulletins. I'll greet people on their way in. Our prayer team. We have some faithful volunteers who at the end of every service, they're off to the side of the stage right here, and they want to pray with you. But we don't have enough people on that team. And every week, you guys need prayer, and we love to pray with you, but we need people who will say, I'm no theologian, I'm no expert on prayer, but I'll get trained on how to pray, and then I'll join this prayer team. Fusion, I want to ask you to be brave and to lean in. And if you call this your community, will you help pull the sled that is Fusion? The way you can join one of these ministry teams is very, very easy. There's a number on the screen right there. If you will pull out your phone, which I know you already had out anyways, are the Cowboys winning? No, don't tell me. Pull out your phone and text that number, and in the text box, put which area of ministry you want to serve. In fact, I just wonder this. I wonder if somebody's brave action is going to start a reaction of bravery. Who in here right now, raise your hand if you've taken out your phone and you are texting that number right now. Anybody in here? There's one right there. Who else? There's another one. There's hands back there. Hands over there. Who else? I see that hand back over there. Who else is going to join us? Who's going to help us with this? If you call this your community, Fusion, lean in, help, be brave. This might be God's moment for you to step out bravely into something. And it may not be easy, I get it, but remember, the brave thing is rarely the easy thing. Fusion, as we close this service, you can keep texting that number. If you haven't texted the number, you can come up and talk to one of the pastors. We'll get you plugged in as well. But as we close and as Alex and the team lead us in worship, would you remember, God has brave steps for you planned for your life. And whether it's here at Fusion joining one of our teams, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's on your campus, whether it's in your own home, would you remember that God is not intimidated by the problem? Would you remember to surround yourself with people who make you brave? Would you remember that the brave thing is rarely the easy thing? And would you remember that your act of bravery will inspire others to act bravely as well?